Given that it's 2:30, I suppose we should probably make a start. Today we're going to have a look at reimbursements through PAGA. So we're just going to look at the reimbursement form and the travel reimbursement. As I said in the email, if you have any other ideas for what you want the seminars to be on, then just let me know and we can incorporate that and stuff. Okay. So, getting into PAGA, there's a couple of ways. The easiest way is up the top here on the left, and then you've got HR PAGA here. This is in NCIA, or you've got it down the bottom of the page, and you can set up the page in NCIA so you can have it down the side, but I've started using this one each time because it's just easier. Okay. And PAGA has been updated. So, let's see. We have internet, that's fine. Actually, we'll stop that. We'll go back to NCIA to start off with. You can't access it? Okay. Try going through Program Farm. As I say, there are many ways to access PAGA, and this time it will let me in. Yay! Okay, so if you have any problems at home, go through Program Farm. Here it should work through and see you, but this time it didn't, which gives us the opportunity of finding other ways to get there. Okay, so now that it's been updated, this is the front page that you'll see. These shortcuts here will reflect the forms that you use most often. So if you don't see travel claims and reimbursements up there, then it's probably because you don't use those forms terribly often. So you have the shortcuts, or you can go up to this menu here and you have forms. New form, it always opens on tasks, it's very frustrating. Go to new forms, and then you've got your travel claims and your reimbursement of expense. Okay, now what we're going to do is we'll do travel claims first because it's a little bit more complicated than the reimbursement of expense form. And if you can do your travel claims form, then the reimbursement of expense is actually quite an easy one to do. And just let me know if you have any questions as we go. All right, so travel claims. Now, once you've travelled, you're supposed to fill in your reimbursement within 30 days of returning. You're supposed to have a travel approval form that's been approved and signed before you go. And you need to make sure that you've kept all of your receipts for your entire travel. Okay. With all of these forms now, you'll have your organisation number up here, the cost code, but we have been asked to add it again in the override accounts section. Okay. And this is the place if you're travelling for another department or another faculty or another group, and they're going to be covering the cost, then you can put their cost code in and their project number, right? So, and as you can see, it'll find the one that you need. Project number, if you're traveling on a project, please put your project number in. This all determines where the money comes from. Okay, so it helps us to accurately take the money from the right place. We had been going through, we went through a period where we were asking people if there was no project number to put in the unspecified number. We've been asked not to do that now, okay? So if there is no project number, don't put a project number in. And if there is no project number, then there is a comments field on the next page and you can just state there's no project number and also no analyst number. Because for some people, you can add, let's see, we've got IDU there. And there's also a few for the CCIS people. So if you're travelling on CCIS, they've got analyst numbers as well. All right. If you're not travelling for ID or CCIS, then it's probably something that you don't need to worry about. Okay. But just as I say, if you don't have a project number and you don't have an analyst number, then just state that in the comments. It just means that people who are processing the form will know. Okay, your departure address. Unfortunately, there are only three options here. One is your home address. The second one is NTNU in Trondheim, which none of you will probably be travelling from ever. But they haven't updated that, so people from Ålesund and Gjøvik have their own address there. So if you are travelling from Gjøvik, from NTNU here, then you need to add that address in. So if you've spent most of the time here and then you leave from here, then add NTNU and Gjøvik address there. Okay. Now you have two options here, Norway and abroad. We'll put in abroad because it'll give us more options. Type of travel, it's always going to be business travel. If it's personal travel, you're not going to get any money back, so don't ask for it. Overnight travel, we'll put in yes for this one. Subsistence allowance, well, are we paying for your food or not? And compensation allowance, whether or not you're eligible for that as well. Purpose of event, what shall we travel for? Got a seminar in Greece. So here you could say that you were an invited speaker somewhere, or you were presenting at a conference, or you were taking a course, or, you know, whatever the reason is.
Well, I don't see the same options. I don't see this compensation allowance on my...
Have you added in abroad rather than Norway? It depends on the type of travel that you're doing and whether or not it's been approved. So, and you know, if you're travelling overseas, then often compensation allowances is one of the options. So, yeah. Okay. It's basically just for not being in Norway. So you get compensated for not being here, for being in another place for work, right? No, you don't get the compensation allowance for that, but you will get the you can apply for the subsistence one in Norway. Okay, so we'll go to Athens. Now, departure date and time is quite important because it depends on how many hours each day you've been gone. So we'll say we left then. I always seem to leave at 10 o'clock, and we came back on the 6th, and we got in late. Okay. Next. Right. Now, this is where we add the accommodation. Even if it was paid for or prepaid by someone else, it's always a good idea to add these details in because this brings up the options for your subsistence allowance as well. If you saw in the form before, you can see just behind here, there's nothing here for the subsistence allowance, and you'll see that pop up after we've filled this in. Okay, so country is quite important because that will actually determine how much you get in your subsistence allowance. Okay, different places allow for different amounts. Now, this list is only in Norwegian, so if you can't find the country you're looking for, you're probably going to have to go and find Google Translate or a dictionary or something. Okay, right, we're going to Hellas and we're going in Greece. Okay, and then just the address of the hotel or whatever type of accommodation you had. We are going to pay for this in euro. And we're away for what? Make it 300 euro. Now, you have to find the rate yourself, the exchange rate. It doesn't come up automatically, unfortunately. Okay. So if we put, I have no idea what it is at the moment, but if we put 9.01, then it will automatically add it up here. Okay. Now, we have had instances where some people, when they've gotten to this point, they've had the amount in krona come out. In this case, it would have been like 270,300 krona. Okay, I don't know why the system does it. It just does it sometimes. It's a fault. If it comes up with some horrendously stupid number, you have the opportunity of actually saying, you know, that it's putting it in too high in the comments. Okay. We know that it's that you're not going to be at a hotel for 3 days for 270,000 krona, okay? But just put that in the comments if it ever does throw up that error, okay? Right. And I find it easiest to repeat this in every possible place you can, because then it won't get sent back to you with the note saying, please put it in, okay?
One question.
Yep. I would say that hotel is probably just as good. Yeah. I'm not sure. I'll have to have a look and see if it's a difference between hotel and guest house. Okay. Right. So once you've saved that, you see here there's also an option of adding the receipt. You can't do that until you've saved the entire form. Okay, and all of these you have to save. And you see now that you've got the meal deductions have come up here. And then if you save again, up there, then when you open this back up, you have the option of uploading a receipt. Okay, now you can either upload the receipt here or at the end. So you've got the two options. Okay. So here you need to check the boxes where you had breakfast. And let's see, they gave us lunch every day. And we had one dinner on the final night. Okay. Now, if you're staying in a hotel, the assumption will be made that the hotel will provide you for breakfast. Will provide breakfast for you. There we go, that's better. If you don't get breakfast at the hotel, please make a note of it in the comments, all right? Just so that they're clear on the fact that you had to provide your own breakfast. If the hotel offers breakfast in the morning and you choose not to take it, then that's your loss, okay? because breakfast has been provided, okay? If they only serve shrimps and that's the only thing you can't eat, then make a note of that and say, I had to buy my own breakfast. Okay. Right. Car allowance. So you had to drive to the airport. So I'll go Jøvik, Gardermoen, return. And we travelled in a vehicle. All right. There are different rates for different vehicles. So if you have an electric car, then put in the electric vehicle on there. And then the number of kilometres, we'll make that 250. Now, number of passengers. If you are the only one in the car, do not put down one. If you have another person in the car, put one. And then say you took them to the airport, but you didn't bring them back again. So we'll make it 145. And then name of passengers. So Bob came with me. Right. We didn't have a trailer and we weren't driving on forest or construction roads. There we go, and we'll put in the override account again. Okay, reasonably straightforward so far. Yep. Expenses. There's usually quite a few expenses. If you took the bus or if you had to, purchase anything on the way, or if you were purchasing your flights as well. Even if you go through Berg Hansen, you should add that in to your expenses. So we will add there we go. So you choose what type of expense it is. We'll put down flight. We'll say prepaid by organisation. And we'll say Oslo, Athens, from Norway to Greece, Hellas. Round trip. And it was reasonably cheap. And because we've already saved the form, you have the option of putting in the receipt, which you can go and collect from Berg Hansen, which we talked about in the last seminar. So then you'd add your receipt that you've saved somewhere in your on your computer. Okay. Okay. You can also import from credit card with the expenses. This is why it's useful to have your credit card linked in Paga, which we can go through in another seminar. So having your credit card linked in both Berg Hansen and Paga is quite useful, because then you can pull up your charges that were made then. Now, when you're importing from credit card, using the travel reimbursement form, what it's going to do is it's going to look at the dates that you travelled between, and it's going to check those dates for any payments on the credit card, which of course if you used it to buy something prior to leaving means it won't be included. So make sure that you've set your date way back when you made your first purchase for that particular travel. Alright, does that make sense? Okay. And then any travel advance that you've received, you can add in here. I've not actually used that bit before, so we'll find out how that works. And here you can put in the no project number. Okay. Next. So this is the last page, and this is where you get to check that everything's there. So here's your notice that says that there's no project number associated with it, the Costed that you've added, and the analyst number or the project number, whichever one comes up here. Destination, where you went, type of accommodation you had. Expenses, this one, your flight from Oslo to Athens. Yes, it was paid in advance. This one wasn't, so that's the total amount. Car allowance, that's how much it cost you to drive there and back again. You only had a passenger one way, so that's how much you get. It's 1 krona per kilometre for a passenger. Your overnight allowance. So there is a it looks like there's a difference here if you have a guest house rather than a hotel. Actually, I'm not sure why that's come up twice. Now, the breakfast, the rate that they calculate that as the amount. Breakfast is 20% of that amount. Lunch is 30. Dinner is 50. Okay? So that's how they work that out. And then your compensation allowance for travelling abroad, 4 nights in Greece, you get 491 kroner a night. So that total. So this is the total amount. This is the voucher, the flight. So that's the amount that you should get back in your salary. Okay. Now, here is the other place that you can add your receipts. So if you only have one file of receipts, then you can just put it in here rather than separating them all out and having them on the individual, attached individually on the individual expenses lines. Okay, so you can choose which way around. I know that when I was processing these, sometimes it was easier just to have everything at the end, but that's just up to you. And I'm sure that all the people processing these, they probably have their own ways that they prefer. So you choose which one's better for you. This is also where you can attach your travel approval form so that they know that the travel has been approved as well. Okay. Boarding passes are needed for EU travel and something else. I had been told a long time ago that we didn't need them, but apparently we do. So boarding passes, it's probably a good idea to get into the habit of attaching them. I also need to find out though what happens with electronic boarding passes, because in some systems it's quite difficult actually to find a way of printing them out. So if you are travelling for an EU project, making sure that you've got a printout of your boarding passes is actually quite important. It's not quite as important for other travels. Okay. Yep, Maria?
I was actually told to upload the boarding passes for one of our trips to Tottenham for the department.
Okay. So.
But I just wrote back that, to my knowledge, we only have to upload these for the EU.
Yep. My experience has been that it depends on who's processing it as to how likely it is to come back if certain things are missing. So if you are doing any travels, it is a good idea to have your boarding passes on there as well, because the more information that you give them, the less likely they are to send the form back to you. Okay. Okay, so once you've done all that, you press send, and you get this box. If you have any more comments to add, which you shouldn't need to at this point because that should all be in your other comment section, but if you do, you can put them there, and then you just press send. Okay? which I will not do. Okay. Now, if there is a problem with it, then they will send it back to you. And you will find, yes, I'll leave this page, you'll find that you'll have in tasks, you'll have one, it'll come up and it'll say one task to look at, which is, of course, this bit here. So, for you back here, if you open this up, say we have one task in here because it hasn't actually been sent yet. And you open that up and you fix whatever it is that they've asked you to do. Now, when you do that, quite often when you press the send button again, it gives you more options. When you send the form for the first time, you only have one option. Okay? If it gets sent back to you and then you try and send it to them again a second time after fixing it, then you'll have more options because you'll also have the option of sending it back to your own inbox. Now, unfortunately, I think often that's the default. So we've had people who think that they've fixed the form, and then they press send, and they send it off thinking that they've sent it for processing, but actually they've sent it back into their own inbox. And they don't notice, and it just sits there. So, if you have a problem, and if you've sent it, you've fixed it and you've sent it off, check to see if it's in the waiting for you box here. If it is, that means you've sent it back to yourself. And you need to go in and send it off again and make sure that you send it to for processing. All right. If you've sent it to processing, it will appear in the blue box here. Okay. And then once they've processed that, and you'll see the status, it'll tell you whether, at what point it's gone to the control leader for approval. Once that's happened, then it will go into the completed and you'll see that it's been processed, and then at some point you'll see when the payout date will be. All right. Now, there are two payout dates for reimbursements. You can see them in this handy little box here. So if you open that up, it doesn't like showing you in English. All right. So if you want to know when the deadlines are, then you need to change it. And this is a handy little hint for almost everything in NCEA and everything in these things, is that if something doesn't work, it may be because you're in the English version rather than the Norwegian one. It's a good reason to actually use the Norwegian versions of everything. Learn Norwegian. Yep, that's... Don't give me that look. All right. So, you've got two payment dates a month, so if you wonder when your reimbursements are going to get paid out, then check at what point in the processing it is, and then check which one the next payment date is going to be. As you can see, 25th of April, if you're expecting anything, you should get it next week. Either that or you'll be waiting until the 12th of May. Okay? Salaries are always paid on or about the 12th, so... Right, so that's the travel reimbursement. The other reimbursement is just as easy, and in fact, a lot easier. right, so reimbursements. Now, you should always start your purchasing process by filling in a purchase form or an in-shop schema. When I get around to it, I will update the logo. All right. If you need a purchase form, unfortunately we don't have these available online, just let me know. I can email you an electronic copy, or we have paper copies in the office as well. All right. And I also have an English version as well, but right, so here you describe what you want, you say how much it's going to be, you say who you are and the date so that we know who's actually buying it, and depending on what it is that you're purchasing, if it's electronic equipment, then that comes to me. I'm not sure what the process is for maths, so that needs to be checked. If it's electronic equipment, then the form gets sent to me and I send it on to Magna, and he will order it through the ordering system there. All right. So the reimbursements form that you fill in will only be, you'll only fill it in occasionally, because there won't be too many occasions where you actually have to buy something that's that can't be bought through other ways. Anyway, remember to put in your cost code. Oops. It doesn't want to do that for me there. I think I've broken it. Okay. So you put in your cost code there, you put in your project number there. If you have an ELRSA number, then you put it in anyone down here. We just need to make sure we have those numbers so we know where the money is going to be coming from to pay for this. Okay. So it is important that you have that on the form. If it's going to Magna, then once you give it to me, I can send it off to him and he will send it back to the relevant person for approval. If it's something else that you need to buy, then you need to either get it approved by your supervisor, or you need to get it approved by your supervisor if you're a PhD student, or the head of the project, or the head of the department. Okay, so you can... And then we give it back to you, and then you can go out and buy the things you need. Okay. So, yet again, override accounts. Actually, I might just get somebody else to pay for it. ED can this time. And I'll just pick a project here. Let's use that one. Okay. Title. So you can explain what it's for. Diverse. It should be more specific than that, though. Okay. Add. And of course, you can import from credit card. Put in the date of when you purchased it and choose the type. Okay, so if you're buying office equipment, this too is a drop down box that is only available in Norwegian. Very good practice. Or you had to take somebody out for dinner and you didn't have time to come and get a requisition form, I would suggest that you always plan it so that you have a requisition form so you don't have to go through this process. Or you have to buy bits and pieces. There is also this option down here. It's sort of other orders that can't go through the ordering system. Okay, which is the one I tend to use most often. All right. Cleaning supplies for apartments. Not yours, of course. Okay. And then however much it was. Again. Or actually we were going to pay. Anyway. We won't worry about it right then. And you save, so that you can go back into it again and add the receipt. Okay? You also have the option of uploading the receipt in the next page as well. But this, unlike the travel reimbursement, is a little bit easier to just add the receipts to each one. Often you're not buying that many things. When you import from credit card, and I can show you with this one, selected, you see that it's missing the type. Okay, so at that point you have to go back in and you have to choose which type it is. It won't let you go on to the next page or save it without that. Okay. And now it's happy it had the warning up there. And you can explain what you got it for. Okay, so here you can add the attachment. This is where you add the purchase form, the approved, signed approved purchase form, or the receipts or anything else you feel that they need to know in order to pay you back. Right, any questions about that? No? It is a reasonably straightforward system if you just start from the beginning and work your way through. And I know that once you use it yourselves, that you'll have questions that we may not have gone through today. So, you know, come and ask, give me a phone call, turn up at my office, send me an email, anything like that, and I can help out once the questions come up. Now, the last thing, and yet again, when you send, it's the same process. And if you get it sent back to you, you need to make sure that after you've fixed it, you're sending it back for processing and not back into your inbox. Okay. Now, I think the last thing I need to say is you have to have your receipts. Okay. If you make a booking for a hotel, or for example with this, if you buy books, a booking confirmation is not enough. You have to show that you've actually purchased the thing that you've bought, right? So it has to be a receipt. Okay. Are there any questions? If you're interested in linking your credit card, just to, and the last thing, under forms, new form, you'll see there's this personal and family information form here, and that's where you actually upload your credit cards, okay, when you add it to the system. And you can put an NTNU credit card in there, you can put your personal credit card in there, and I'm not sure if there's a limit to how many, so, okay. Right, and that is a very quick introduction to forms, reimbursement forms. Okay, and you can delete them once you're done. Yay. If you're just testing. Okay, and that's it.